You're tuned to WFHB.
Volunteer powered,
listener supported.
Community radio for South Central Indiana.
Welcome to WFHB's Daily Local News.
Written and produced entirely by volunteers from the Bloomington community and supported by the generosity of listeners like you.
Good afternoon from the studios of Community Radio 91.3 FM. Reporting live for WFHB, this is Jada Lucas.
And I'm Jenna Jankowski. This is the Daily Local News for Monday, February 5th, 2018.
Not in Rolling Prairie.
Because it's not big enough, is that true?
Oh, it's very conservative. I mean, it's a farming town.
And they would say you're a spawn of the devil.
Yeah, pretty much.
Later in the program, WFHB correspondent Michael Glab speaks with Ariel Silk's artist and drag queen, Sue Raw. That interview is coming up on today's edition of Big Talk with Michael Glab.
Also coming up in the next half hour, Jerry Jerome is now in his second two-year term as chair of the board of directors with the Bloomington Community Band. We'll hear from Jerome about his lifelong love of music on Activate, our weekly segment spotlighting people working for positive change in our community. But first, your daily headlines.
Indiana shot at passing a hate crimes law this year collapsed in the legislature late last week. The bill, sponsored by Senate Republican Susan Glick of LaGrange, died in committee on Friday after Senate Republicans could not come to terms over amendments to the proposed legislation. The Indy Star reports some conservative lawmakers had difficulty setting aside what they called additional protective measures for people of color and the LGBT community. Legislators were unable to convince more conservative lawmakers that the measure did not create greater penalties for so-called protected classes. Indiana is one of five states that does not have legislation on the books concerning hate crimes. That means federal investigators are called in when there are allegations of a hate crime occurring in the state.
A new bill adding requirements for women seeking an abortion in the state moved out of the state Senate and will end up on the floor of the House this week. Senate Bill 340 would require women seeking an abortion to report their period schedule, if they've had an abortion before, and if so, how many and when, and whether they've had a miscarriage, among other regulations. The bill passed out of the Senate on Thursday and is currently being championed in the House by Representative Peggy Mayfield of District 60, which includes Martinsville and Eastern Bloomington. Katie Blair with the Indiana chapter of the American Civil Liberties Union says the bill is on the radar of their legal team.
This bill is particularly upsetting. You know, right off the bat, you can say SB 340 is it's government overreach. It's medically unnecessary, offensive to women, and condescending to the medical profession. What it wants to do is basically mandating the state reporting of personal medical history and its government intrusion into the lives of Hoosier women. It's not about patient safety or any state interest in public health, and it's just another tool to chipping away a woman's right to choose.
Blair says SB 340 is an overt attempt to dissuade women in Indiana from getting an abortion.
It goes so far as wanting to know if you have any children that have passed away, which I find particularly upsetting and triggering for those that have unfortunately lost a child. It's pretty disgusting. And what it is, it's really just trying to create a government database of women that have had abortions and track them.
Senate Bill 340 was opposed by District 60 Senator Mark Stoops of Bloomington. It is currently sponsored in the House by Representative Peggy Mayfield. Neither Mayfield or Stoops could respond for comment.
Hundreds of Indiana's least populated townships may be dissolved and absorbed into larger townships. Indiana House Republicans are advancing legislation that would consolidate townships with fewer than 1,200 residents. A House vote is expected today on House Bill 1005. If the plan is endorsed, it would be sent to the Senate for consideration. Purdue University economist Larry DeBoer says their typical duties now are mostly providing economic assistance to low-income residents and fire protection in rural areas.
Yeah, you know, townships used to be really important. They would provide schools and libraries and parks and service roads and everything, and property assessment. But these days, they're really down to two functions, and one is fire protection in rural areas, and the other is township assistance, which we usually call poor relief. And almost all the townships do some sort of poor relief or other. As far as fire protection is concerned, the townships in urban areas have basically ceded that function to the overlapping cities. So the cities provide, cities and towns provide fire protection. But in rural areas, the townships will fund usually volunteer fire departments.
Advocates of township consolidation say it will remove another layer of government bureaucracy, resulting in cost savings and better services in areas with few residents. DeBoer says that those savings don't add up too much.
In terms of the amount of money that can be saved, it's really not that much. The total budgets of all the townships, less than 1,200 people, is $17 million out of $17 billion that we spend on local government altogether. So it's 0.1% of the amount that we spend on local government is the maximum amount that could be saved. And as you said, it's conceivable we wouldn't save anything.
The Indiana Township Association, which is membership from about two-thirds of the state's over 1,000 townships, says they've heard township trustees on both sides of the issue, and neither support it, nor are they against it. About 300 townships would face finding merger partners under the House Republican plan. Those would have to be completed by 2023. Indiana Township Association Executive Director Debbie Driscoll, who presents the largest township association in the state, says she's receiving about equal feedback from township trustees.
Right now, our membership is, I would say, I'm getting responses on both sides of the issue. So there are some that believe that the bill is good and others that believe that it is not.
Supporters of the current township structure argue that it is the level of government closest to the people and the most responsive.
The ban on transporting ash wood in Indiana is no longer in effect. That's according to press release this afternoon from the Indiana Department of Natural Resources. The transportation of ash wood was made illegal due to the spread of the emerald ash borer, which killed hundreds of thousands of acres of deciduous trees across the state. Indiana DNR says they're lifting the ban on the transportation of ash because the emerald ash borer is now endemic across state forests. Reporting live for WFHB, I'm Jenna Jankowski.
And I'm Jada Lucas. The Daily Local News is brought to you by MPI Solar, a Bloomington business specializing in solar hot water, solar electricity, and solar hot air systems. MPI Solar designs and installs solar power generation systems that encourage independence and individual responsibility. Found locally at 812-334-4003 and on the web at mpisolarenergy.com. Sue Rawl performs acrobatics high above a stage as an aerial silks artist. She's also a drag performer, appearing regularly at the back door in weekly shows. On this episode of Big Talk, Rawl speaks with Michael Glab about her drag character and her earliest introduction to the drag scene.
There are drag shows.
Yeah.
Now, what's this all about?
Oh, my gosh.
This craziness
Craziness. I always loved drag. I've been going to drag shows since I was not old enough to go into a bar.
What is it about drag shows that attracts you?
It's just fun. It's just people expressing their joy. I love that. It's artistic. The costuming is always amazing. The makeup is always amazing. It's just always been something that I've really loved, and I've always loved the people there.
When did you start doing that? I mean, you don't have to say, you don't have to betray your
no.
age, but
I haven't.
You are 21, I think, aren't you?
Times a couple, yes. Yeah, but yeah. Yes. a friend of mine who had been doing, had been performing as a drag king for a number of years, was going to be in a show called Princes and Kings, where the drag kings would bring in a new performer, which would be a prince, and that was their prince. So,
all right, time
you're
out.
Like,
time
wait.
Out. Hold on, hold on. There's some terminology
okay.
here that we've
we'll
got to straighten
up.
Out. I've always known of the term drag queen.
Mm-hmm.
What is a drag king?
A drag king is essentially, it's the same. Well, so as women, we would dress as male impersonators.
So if you do it,
mm-hmm.
you're a drag king.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
I did not know this.
See, you learned something new every
That's
day.
Why we have this show, for goodness sake.
We'll have to get you at a show. There's magic going on.
Oh, you're not kidding. Where are some of these shows?
You can see us at the back door.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. But yeah.
And how often?
They have shows every week.
Weekly?
Yes. I'm generally performing at least once or twice a month.
And you feel the same way about this stage performing as you do with your aerials,
yeah.
You're nervous.
Yeah.
You want it to be perfect.
I'm a little nutty about it. I try. My character that I've developed is kind of like a washed out glam rocker. So, like, you know, he's burnt out. He's tattooed. I spend a lot of money on fake tattoos on him. I might as well just get the real thing at this point. But yeah, in his mind, he's still seeing pyrotechnics
and laser lights
and laser lights shot. And Tawny Katane is behind him and, you know, it's all happening in his head. So
I am so thrilled that finally on Big Talk,
Tawny Katane
was referenced.
You're welcome.
So,
but anyway,
here's this king. What's his name?
Jamie Spangle.
Wow.
Yeah. Rhymes with dangle. It's just, yeah, I know. And
I just raised my eyebrow.
Did you? Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I
you're like, okay, rein it in. Whenever, and it's usually like some sort of glam rock song that I do with him. And there's guitars and there's smoke machines and confetti and silly string and sometimes a Tawny Katane type of character
yeah.
happens. And yeah, it's just, there's cat suits and it's just, it's insanity. And
why
people
have
love
I
it
not
and
been at
I don't
any
know.
Of these. It's crazy.
I don't know. But for some reason they keep asking me back and
it's going to happen. I'm going to be there.
Yeah, the drag king shows are a blast. There's a little bit of everything and I'll be doing a little live singing, I think, which will be new cuz you know, I have to like throw some sort of
Wait,
terrifying thing at myself.
You mean you haven't been live singing prior to this?
I did one other
Jamie, I thought,
Jamie,
was a singer.
Yes. Most of it's done lip syncing as, you know, like the traditional drag
Give
queen.
Me an example of a song that you lip sync to.
Oh, well, my breakout song was I Believe in a Thing Called Love by The Darkness, which is my favorite band, and I could talk about them forever. It's just kind of sad and wonderful at the same time. So, yeah, that was the one that I started with, and that was the routine that has the guitar with the confetti and the silly string in it and the cat suit. And I tried to bring in, if you remember the video, it was like every little bit of glam rock cheesery was in it. So
stop being redundant.
I know. Right?
All right.
Stop. Yeah.
In these drag shows that are at the back door
mm-hmm.
regularly. What is the breakdown of kings and queens?
I think it's there's mostly queens there. The house entertainer is Argenta Perone, and she is amazing. She organizes all the shows. So their general shows are mostly drag queens.
Uh-huh.
There have been more kings coming in.
Do you inspire anybody? Someone said, if she can do it, I can do it.
I think so. I've had a few people come up to me and say that they're really interested in doing drag king shows and asking advice, which I kind of cower from because I'm like, I don't know if I'm the person you should ask, but I'm really flattered by that. Yeah, I think it's kind of inspired other people to be, you know, just kind of get out there and try it. Share your weirdness. That's what I always advocate.
Now, you're not an utter weirdo.
Because I'm not.
No, now you're disappointed
oh,
that I said
yeah,
that.
I'm a little sad
it
about
ruins
that.
Everything,
oh,
doesn't it?
Wah, wah.
Sue.
Yes.
Where were you raised?
I was raised in Rolling Prairie, Indiana.
Where the heck is that?
I know. Everybody says. I normally don't even say Rolling Prairie. I usually say LaPorte. Or sometimes I don't even say that. I say South Bend or Michigan City because nobody knows where that is.
Yeah.
But yeah, very small. One stoplight. Not even a stoplight. One stop sign.
Could you do your drag show there and would there be an audience?
Not in Rolling Prairie.
Because it's not big enough? Is that the...
Oh, it's very conservative. I mean, it's a farming town.
And they would say you're a spawn of the devil.
Yeah, pretty much.
I think you are anyway.
I am. It's true. But South Bend, which is, you know, 20 miles away, which is where I went to school. That's where I started going to drag shows. At a place called Truman's, which was... actually part of Truman Capote's old property, which is crazy.
One of my favorite authors of all time.
Yeah.
He had property over there. What a life.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy. It's fun. I try to keep it fun and weird.
Let me ask you this. Do you make any money at it?
No.
Do you lose money at it?
The aerial thing, I do make a little bit of money because I teach.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You're a professor of the air.
I'm at least certified.
Okay, that's close enough.
That was Big Talk's Michael Glab speaking with aerial artist and drag performer Sue Rall. Catch a full episode of Big Talk every Thursday at 5:30 p.m., immediately following the Daily Local News.
Support for WFHB comes from Lauren Wood Builders. Lauren Wood Builders is a family-owned company that sources local materials and local craftsmen to minimize environmental impact and sustain community. More information is available online at laurenwoodbuilders.com.
Now it's time for Activate, our weekly segment spotlighting people working for positive change in our community.
Welcome to Activate, featuring tales of inspiration from local citizens who stand up for what they believe in and encouraging you to find your cause, live your passion, make a difference. Volunteer.
Hi, I'm Jerry Jerome, and I volunteer with the Bloomington Community Band, and I also run the Stardusters Big Band and Little Big Band. Well, very basically, I'm a musician, so it gave me an opportunity to play. The community band has been in existence here in Bloomington since the late 1800s. During World War II, it pretty well died off, and then in 1970-something, mid-70s, Gary Wiggins reformed it and got it going again. It's been running ever since the mid-70s now, and it gave me a chance to play. That's where it all started, and I've been very, very involved with it since. It's a chance to play a style of music that I don't normally get a chance to play, the concert band feeling. And we play around the community. I mean, we are Bloomington's community band. There's a connection with an audience. There's an electricity that goes back and forth between the player and the people. And you can't duplicate that with recording. So live music is, as far as I'm concerned, is everything. Based on what I see while I'm playing and watching the audience, and based on what they tell us, they enjoy it. Music has an effect on people that it's not something you put your hands on, but it's there. It's a projection of feelings between all the musicians and the audience, and it just does good things for people. For the last couple of years, there's a little guy that shows up. He's a special needs child. About this big, and he comes up and he is into it. He's jumping around, and he actually comes up and stands next to our director and directs. And that in itself is worth it, right there. Just watching this youngster and knowing what he's getting out of it. The community band is more than the concert band, and we have several affiliated organizations. We have the swing band, we have a Dixieland band, we have a German band, we have a brass band. We give the musicians who want to play, that's what this whole organization is about. It gives them an opportunity to play, to keep on their horns. I laid off my horn for 30 years. I was a musician in the Navy, and then from 1960 until 1990, I did not touch my horn. I started playing again after that 30-year lapse in 1990, and to get me back on my horn, I started with the symphonic band in Indianapolis. When I retired, my full-time activity now is music. And it's wonderful. It keeps you busy, keeps you young. And, you know, at my age, staying busy is very, very important because I'm not going to sit down in front of the TV and die. And some people do, unfortunately. But I think music is an avenue to stay healthy and stay busy and stay active. Thanks for listening. This is Jerry Jerome, and I'm representing the Bloomington Community Band.
You may visit the City of Bloomington Volunteer Network website to see a full organization profile at bloomington.in.gov/volunteer. Now here's a rundown of current volunteer opportunities in Bloomington and Monroe County.
For the City of Bloomington Volunteer Network, I'm Lucy Shake with three featured volunteer opportunities for the week. The Bloomington Scholastic Chess Club is seeking an individual with experience in video editing to assist with editing and posting of videos of club participants at chess-related events on social media. Sharpen or show off your skills with this opportunity. Or get in the middle of a Chicago Mafia heist at Life Design's Week of Chocolate live-action murder mystery fundraiser on February 16th. Event volunteers will assist with setup, game and auction activities, and event checkout to support this fun fundraiser. And finally, Bloomington Parks and Recreation's Children's Expo on March 24th is a parent's treasure trove of informational, educational, and recreational resources for school-age children. Volunteers are needed in all areas for event support and to welcome people to the festivities. And that's a look at just some of the ways you can connect to your community through volunteering. For WFHB and the City of Bloomington Volunteer Network, I'm Lucy Shake.
You've been listening to Activate, a co-production of WFHB and the City of Bloomington Volunteer Network, working together to build an empowered, vibrant, and engaged community. You may visit bloomington.in.gov/volunteer to find and sign up for local volunteer opportunities. All episodes of Activate are available online at wfhb.org/news/activate. For Bloomington Community Radio, I'm Jennifer Brooks.
You've been listening to the Daily Local News on WFHB. Today's headlines were written by Wes Martin and Jonah Chester in partnership with Community Access Television Services. Our feature was produced by Michael Glad.
Activate is produced by Lucy Shake from the City of Bloomington Volunteer Network. Our engineer is Chris Martin. Our theme music is provided by The Impossible Shapes. Executive producer is Wes Martin. For WFHB, I'm Jenna Jankowski.
And I'm Jada Lucas. Thanks for supporting Indiana's only volunteer-powered, listener-supported, independent daily news program. You can hear tonight's full broadcast as well as all other WFHB news programming online at wfhb.org.
You can be a part of our award-winning news team. For more information about joining our volunteer team of citizen journalists, email news at wfhb.org.
Stay tuned for KiteLine, a program amplifying the voices of those within Indiana's prison system. Coming up next on WFHB.
You've been listening to the Daily Local News on WFHB Bloomington Community Radio. Our news is written and reported by volunteers working to provide local news, cover local issues, and strengthen our local community. We invite you to participate. You may submit questions, comments, and story ideas to news@wfhb.org. You can become a daily local news volunteer by attending new volunteer orientation. You can find an archive of past shows and individual news reports online at wfhb.org and catch live broadcasts of the Daily Local News Monday through Thursday at 5 p.m. We are local, longer.